This episode is brought to you in part by the American Homebrewers Association, hosts of HomebrewCon, the biggest homebrew gathering of the year, and easily the most fun. HomebrewCon brings together beer lovers from all corners of the country for 3 days of learning and camaraderie, and of course, great beer. June 27th to June 29th in Providence, Rhode Island. Learn more and register at homebrewcon.org. That's homebrewcon.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 16th, 2019. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, we head to Tulsa, Oklahoma to taste beers at the Tulsa Craft Beer Invitational. Lots of great beer is being brewed in Oklahoma, and we talk to some of the pro and home brewers who are doing it. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows, our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear, including our tie-dye silicone pint and our Brewing Rainbow shirt, and it's all available at our brand new basicbrewingshop.com. And go over there and find a new deal on our DVDs, a new package deal. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. And if you do us the favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nice comment, they say that they will help new listeners to find us. It sure helps our ego when we read those nice comments. So if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to everybody who's helping out there as well. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. And once again, thanks to everybody who's doing that. And thanks to everybody who's leaving nice comments. In the fermenter right now, I have a yet another no-chill beer. It's what I'm calling a fest beer, based on the BJCP description. But, you know, purists will argue with that. In addition to not chilling it, I fermented it at room temperature with Imperial's Global Lager yeast. So, you know, it's not really, it's not a lager, so I guess it doesn't really fit into the fest beer description. I'm really looking forward to tasting how that comes out. It was pretty much done fermenting in about 3 days. We went out of town on the weekend and came back and it was done. So just waiting for it to flock out now before I keg it. So stay tuned for more details on that. Let's look into the mailbag, why don't we? Zach from Teague, Texas writes, "My question pertains to fusel alcohols and if they will or will not dissipate over time. I brewed 5 gallons of an Imperial Stout in January with an original gravity of 1110. My fermentation temperatures got away from me and into the mid-80s. After 3 weeks, I racked a secondary and let it sit for 3 months. The chemical-slash-solvent aroma had faded quite a bit. I bottled and let those sit at room temperature for 2 weeks. Again, no solvent or chemical aromas were present, but notes of dark chocolate and hints of vanilla. Mmm! Zach says, I treated myself to 3 bottles and woke up the next morning with the worst headache I've ever had. My assumption being that although no distinct odors or aromas were detected, there is still a presence of fusel alcohols in my beer which contributed to the painful headaches I experienced the next morning. Three bottles of a huge beer may in itself contribute to a headache the next morning, especially if you don't drink alcohol or drink water to counteract the effects of the alcohol. So I can't testify to the headache factor fading, but I have had experience with beers that have seemed less hot over time. I don't know if that's fusel alcohol actually lessening or if it's just a perception as the beer ages and sweetens in character. It doesn't seem like fusel alcohol would escape from a closed bottle or a keg. So I don't know. What's your experience out there? Do headachey beers get less headachey over time? Drop me a line with comments or questions to james@basicbrewing.com. Our friend Sean Terrell from 2 Mile Brewing, coming soon in Leadville, Colorado, writes, I was just listening to the March 7th episode, and so I'm not even as far behind as usual, Sean says. and heard you say that you estimated ABV at 6% and the Bell's lab tested it at 7%, give or take. I had a couple of thoughts. I'm guessing these were bottle conditioned. If your priming sugar ferments out fully and you're carbonating typically at 2.5 volumes, that will contribute about 0.4% ABV. Especially noteworthy for packaging breweries, since that's enough to knock it out of TTB labeling compliance. And if you're multiplying attenuation by a constant, 0.525 times original gravity minus final gravity, for example, your results will be less and less accurate at higher gravities. Sean says, I'm a proponent of the Balling correlation. The Balling correlation, I'm a teenager, for Balling correlation for ABV, which I won't bother copy-pasting, but also adds roughly 0.3% ABV at that kind of original gravity. Oh, so if you add 0.3% to 0.4%, you know, you're approaching an additional 1% of additional ABV. I use a gravity calculator or on my phone, so I don't know if that's built in or not. I don't know what formula it's using there. So thanks, Sean. I didn't think about that, especially the priming sugar. So those are likely contributing factors. Hey, if you're heading to HomebrewCon in Providence, Rhode Island this June, be sure to look for our sponsor, Poncho of Poncho's Brewing Lab, on the exhibit floor. He'll be showing off the Poncho's Keg Cooler that you've heard me talk about and brag about. I've got one, and I'm looking forward to serving my fest beer out of it on the patio. The Poncho's Keg Cooler is a 20-gallon cylindrical cooler with a built-in tap that's designed to accommodate a 5-gallon corny keg or a commercial sixtel. Poncho was tired of messing with jockey boxes, he says. He says they're a pain to set up and clean, and your beer sits outside in the heat. With the Poncho's Keg Cooler, the beer is nice and cold in the keg that's inside the cooler. No more sweaty trash cans. And Poncho's Keg Cooler now comes with a stainless steel retractable intertap faucet, which will close automatically after each pour. You can customize your Poncho's Keg Cooler, including stepping up to the Pro version, which comes with a Senke tap that can be used with a sextal or quarter-barrel Senke keg, in addition to the ball lock corny. And you can convert Poncho's Keg Cooler into a 20-gallon mash tun, if you still use mash tuns. If you use the code BBR at ponchosbrewinglab.com, you can save 15% off your Poncho's Keg Cooler. That's the code BBR. So take a look and save some money with that BBR code at ponchosbrewinglab.com. And if you see Poncho on the floor of the exhibit floor there at HomebrewCon, you know, mention Basic Brewing Radio to him and thank him for being a sponsor. We appreciate that a lot. Okay, speaking of loyal sponsors, our friends over at High Gravity in Tulsa played host to a beer festival this past weekend, and it was a fun one. The Tulsa Craft Beer Invitational, which kicked off at Tulsa Craft Beer Week, 30 breweries from across Oklahoma, along with a bunch of home brewers, gathered to share some rare and one-off beers. All right, Marion, who are you and who do you represent?
Well, right now I'm representing the co-sponsorship and foundation of the first Tulsa Craft Beer Invitational. I'm the president of the Fellowship of Oklahoma Alemakers, FOAM. It's the Tulsa's largest and oldest homebrew club. And I'm also the director of operations for Dead Armadillo.
Oh, okay. And what's your full name?
Marion Gooding.
There you go. So this is pretty exciting. This is the first one of these to happen, right?
Yeah, it is. We decided that we wanted to make a festival to kick off Tulsa Craft Beer Week because there hasn't been one for the past few years. And so instead of just your average run-of-the-mill festival, we thought we would like to make this something really special to focus on and celebrate Oklahoma breweries. And so what you see around you here is all Oklahoma breweries. And while we were at it, we thought, why not involve all of the homebrew clubs across the state that would like to participate as well? So we have 4 homebrew clubs here today. And we thought, as long as we're doing all that, why not make it a friendly competition? So all the VIP ticket holders get a ballot, and they get to vote for their favorite beers in the commercial and homebrew categories. And we have some really awesome sponsors who have put together incredible prizes for the winners today. The commercial brewers get some big commercial grade sized bags of grain and lots of hops. So those are not inexpensive, and we're really grateful to be able to have that as a prize package. Now, the winner of the homebrew prize gets essentially a full setup for a garage homebrew system.
Wow.
Yeah, from various sponsors. We've got a Spike brew kettle. We have a mash tun, a self-enclosed mash tun with a pump. And then we also have a Genesis fermenter system that has the disposable plastic bags so that when your beer's done fermenting, you can just take the bag and throw it away, and it's ready to go again. Yeah.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
So the beers here are not just your ordinary run-of-the-mill beers.
Well, because in the spirit of friendly competition and because it's all Oklahoma brewers, we asked that everybody brew something specialty, one-off, and unique for this festival. So what you're able to sample here is beer that you won't be able to get anywhere else. So you certainly won't be able to get it at a liquor store or at a grocery store. And in some cases, you won't even be able to find these beers in the tap rooms of the brewers themselves. So that was part of our request, and I'm really, really proud and grateful to say that everybody has brought some of the best beer I've tasted in a long time just for this event.
Well, congratulations. We're really having fun. Thank you, sir.
Well, thanks so much for coming. I hope you guys enjoy yourselves.
Who are you and where are you from?
My name's Travis Kirby. We're from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And you were the Fellowship of Oklahoma Ale Makers, right?
Yes, we are a Fellowship of Oklahoma Ale Makers. I am this year's treasurer as well. Okay. Yes.
All right. So you handle the money.
Yes, I handle the money. It sounds a lot. It's a lot less fun than it sounds, I promise.
Well, and it doesn't sound very fun. So,
the brewing is the fun part. The brewing and the drinking of beer.
There you go. And you have you've served me up here. What?
It's a raspberry wheat beer.
Oh, it's delicious. Tell me about it.
Well, I'm an extract brewer, so it's all extract brewing. We get all the supplies from High Gravity and Pippin's Tap Room. So basically, you use the liquid malt extract, and then the raspberry flavor is also extract flavor. So
nice.
Took about 3 weeks to make it.
Oh.
Not bad.
So which extract did you use?
I used the Bavarian wheat. Oh. It's all Bavarian wheat, so it's a full wheat beer.
Liquid or dry?
The liquid wheat.
And what did you do as far as boiling and hopping and all that?
The hops, I think it's Styrian. Not much in there. I think there's only like 3/4 of an ounce of hops in the whole thing for a 5-gallon batch.
It's very clean.
Yeah, I use reverse osmosis water to make all my beer. It makes it a lot cleaner. A lot of the extract already has enough minerals and stuff in there anyway.
Well, very good. You say you haven't been brewing very long, but you're doing a good job.
Yeah, just a year in, so got plenty of time to practice.
All right. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Okay, tell me who you are and where you're from.
My name's Laramie King. I'm from Dollhouse Road Brewing in Pawhuska, Oklahoma.
Now, where's that?
It is west of Bartlesville, be north, about an hour north of Tulsa.
Okay, all right. And tell me about your brewery.
We're going to be a nano brewery. We're going to start off probably about a barrel and a half system, 6 taps. We're hoping to break ground on construction within the next couple of months.
And is it on Dollhouse Road? Is that where the name comes from?
It is not, but I live on Dollhouse Road, and that's where the name came from. Yeah.
And what am I drinking here?
It is a 13% Imperial Stout, Steven, the other brewer, came up with maple and oak.
Wow. Wow. That's delicious. This is only my second beer of the day, and it was a generous pour. So we're off to a good start. Tell me about what goes in this beer.
Actually, you'd have to talk to him because he brewed that.
Why don't y'all trade places?
Yeah, tell him about your beer.
Okay. Tell me your name.
Cool. I'm Steven, Dollhouse Road. We just started with a pretty hefty Imperial Stout. Soaked a whole bunch of oak chips and some maple bourbon and went from there.
Some maple bourbon.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's the yeast? And tell me some details.
It's a whole lot of US05.
Yeah.
It was simple.
It's very nice. So what's your goal in the brewery? Who are you going to be?
I hope to stay with a whole bunch of clean ales. He likes to get wild. That's where we differ a lot when it comes to brewing styles and techniques. He does everything different. I'm traditional and clean, so we clash, but we also meld together, so it works out good.
Well, you're off to a good start. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, tell me who you are and where you're from.
I'm Will Perry, and I'm the head brewer at Elk Valley Brewing Company.
And where's Elk Valley?
We're in Oklahoma City. We just got a new tap room opened in Midtown, right there in Oklahoma City.
And what am I drinking?
You're drinking our cucumber saison.
A cucumber saison. Now, I've only had a couple of cucumber beers in my time. Mm-hmm. What goes into this?
So I guess it'd be a filled beer. You know, it's essentially a fairly clean, low ABV saison that we age on cucumbers. So it's light, it's really low in alcohol, it's refreshing. It's our summer seasonal, and it's the beer we want to drink in the summertime, in the heat, you know. It's refreshing and nice.
It's got a nice saison yeast character, but then there is that cucumber in there as well. What yeast do you use?
We're using the French saison yeast on this one. Yeah, it's a clean saison as well. There's no wild yeast or anything in this.
And how do you treat the cucumbers?
We peel them and we puree them with an immersion blender, and then we bag them and recirculate the beer through them until the flavor is where we want it.
Wow! So it's dry cucumbering.
Yeah, that would be accurate, I guess. Yeah.
So what all do you brew at Elk Valley?
We have a pretty a wide variety. I wouldn't say we specialize in any one thing. So today we brought our Matter Juice, which is our New England style IPA, and we got Schenck, which is our 3.5% Berliner Weiss, and then we have what we got, Pumpion, which is our bourbon barrel aged imperial pumpkin ale.
Oh, wow.
And we also brought a new beer called Tuscan Temper, which is an imperial bourbon barrel aged porter aged on maple, cacao, coffee, vanilla, and cinnamon.
Wow. So you guys covered the spectrum.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the goal. We don't really want to, I shouldn't say pigeonhole yourself, because that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we like all sorts of beers, so we like to make and drink all sorts of beers. One of our flagships is a Pilsner. It's a classic German-style Pilsner with a kind of an American twist on it. We did not bring that today, but that's probably that's probably our most popular beer, right, especially in the summertime.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot.
Of course, thank you.
Tell me who you are and where you're from.
We are Erie Abbey Ales from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be located in downtown 5th and Main.
And you're the owner?
Yes, I'm Josh Schrock. I have a co-owner, James Jankowski. The two of us decided to start Erie Abbey Ales a year and a half ago.
And this is, what am I drinking?
Right now you're drinking a spiced triple. We're going to focus on Belgian-style beers. And the spiced triple is a triple style, a Belgian triple-style ale. And it has cardamom, coriander, orange peel, and maple syrup all in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But it's delicately balanced. I mean, it's not like hitting you in the face with, you know, a sledgehammer as far as the spices. And I don't know that I would have picked out the maple, but it's very bready. The malt really comes through, and that nice Belgian yeast in there, and so very nice.
Oh, thank you. We really appreciate it. We've brewed that beer on several different systems, and with a couple different recipes, and kind of really honed that in. And it's been the one that's had the most widespread appeal from the common beer drinker to the guys that really like beer. So,
do you know any of the details as far as the fermentation profile or the temperature and the yeast and all that?
We use Belgian yeast, obviously, and we tried to start it off cold, but we let the temperature rise during fermentation, and that provides the Belgian esters that you get through that beer, and then crash it again to clarify it. So,
yeah, it's very nice. Very nice. Cheers. I'm sorry, cheers. And what's the ABV on this?
9%.
It's going to be a short day for me.
Right, yeah. Good luck with that.
Thank you, sir.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks.
Tell me who you are and where you're from.
Larry Harriman from Pearl Beach Brew Pub here in Tulsa.
And tell me about your establishment first.
So we are we're at 5th and Peoria here in Tulsa. We are a small brew pub, tap room. We have the best volleyball courts in town. Professionally built sand volleyball pairs perfectly with our finely crafted beers.
There you go. What am I drinking here?
So this is a Second to None. It's our latest release. We just put it on tap last week, and it's a collaboration with a local home brewer, Mr. Darren Nunn, a good friend of mine. He's been making this Mexican-style lager. It's basically that nice summer-drinking, easy-drinking beer, and we just went ahead and added our lime zest right in there, so you save you the squeeze of lime. If you feel the need to, hit it with a little shot of salt, whatever you prefer, but just a good, easy-drinking 4.6% summer beer.
There's a little bit of spice in there. What am I tasting?
So that's we use some Equinox hops, which add a little bit of lemon lime citrusy note to it, but just a little bit more bitterness than your typical light American lager or Mexican lager would have, just to kind of liven it up a little bit.
So how do you add the fruit?
We used a lot of limes. 30 pounds of limes we zested and juiced and put in the secondary. And let it soak up that and add the juice in there as well and ferment it out a little bit more and just try to kind of brighten that flavor up without being an overly fruity beer, just a nice complement to the beer itself.
It's very nice. There's did you say salt?
Darren has always put salt in his. We held off on the salt in this one from brewing several gozes through the tap room. Some people are a little averse to that salt flavor. So we left it out and left that up to the drinker if they want to dose it with a little bit themselves. Feel free to do so, but the one you have there does not have salt in it.
Okay, all right. This is delicious. It's nice and clean. If the sun was out, it'd be a little better maybe, but yeah. But this is fun. This is a really fun, easy drinking beer.
Good. That's exactly what it's meant to be for a sunshiny day. We're about 10 degrees shy for what it's ideally meant for, but... Yeah, it turned out great, and I'm super proud of Darren and what he's done with that beer, and a lot of people have been looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, tell me who you are, where you're from.
My name is David Thomas. I'm with Vortex Alley Brewing in Ponca City, Oklahoma.
And what am I drinking here?
That is our goza called Funky Bloom. It's a hibiscus and rosehip goza.
It has a definite pinkish hue to it.
That's the hibiscus, man. Hibiscus will churn that thing. About 2 pounds. We use about 2 pounds in the whirlpool, and then we use another pound in secondary.
Wow. And it's a tart beer as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We dropped it's kettle sour, so we dropped the pH in the in our kettle, our bowl kettle. We use a strain of lactobacillus that's actually made in Ponca City by a company called Log 10. And they actually provide our lactobacillus to us, and it's very concentrated, so it takes very little to drop that pH down to where we want. The pH on that was about 3.3, between 3.3 and 3.2.5. So it's way down there. So,
and rose hips.
Rose hips. You know, we did a beer last year, goza called Lips and Hips, which was made with rose hips and raspberries, and we liked the flavor, the earthy flavor that the rose hips gave. So we did this beer. We said let's put rose hips in this one as well. We liked that flavor, so we went with that one as well. The hibiscus gives it a spicy, a little more tartar note, and where the rose hip gives it a more earthy with a little more tartness note. So
yeah, I did detect an earthiness to it. It's bright, but at the same time, it's got that base of the earthiness in there as well. Yeah. So it's well balanced in that way.
Yeah, the rose hips is what's covering that earthiness. So, yeah, and that's where the funky bloom. The bloom is spelled B-L-U-M-E, which is German for flower. So that's what the funky bloom stands for.
There you go. Very nicely done. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Come back for the IPA.
Oh, there you go.
Eric Marshall with Marshall Brewing Company here in Tulsa.
I'm a fan of your beers over in Northwest Arkansas.
Thank you very much.
Tell me what we got here.
So you're drinking our This Land Lager, which is our classic German Helles. So style that's near and dear to my heart. I studied and apprenticed over in Germany, so I love good classic traditional clean German lagers. And so this beer we've been making we made about 2 years ago in our tap room, kind of a one-off, and 17 barrels of it evaporated in like a weekend. So So we decided that maybe we needed to brew some more of it, and it became a staple in the tap room. And then once the laws started changing around here to start selling in grocery and convenience channels, we decided that A, we wanted to put a canning line in, and B, we wanted to can our Helles. So so we've had it out in package since October, and it's slowly starting to overtake or become one of our top brands. And so we're excited about it. Again, my background, I love good classic German lagers. This is kind of my homage to Augustiner Edelstoff, which is one of my favorite beers, just one of their Helles over in out of Munich, and great beer when you can drink it fresh, and not on this side of the world, but when you can drink it fresh there. And so
well, this is super drinkable, but it's got a fairly complex malt character. What goes into that, and how do you get that?
Yeah, so I think it goes to ingredient selection. So when we started doing this, it's a pretty simple malt bill overall, but we do use a specific variety of Pilsner malt from Weiermann over in Bamberg, and it's of the Barca variety. So they make a product called Barca Pils, which is that's the variety of malt that they use, and we just love that sort of crisp sweetness that comes from the malt. And then it's got a little bit of Caramel, so a very light crystal malt that kind of helps to balance and add a little bit something else. And so, and then just your classic German Tettnang hops and German lager yeast. So it's at the end of the day, it's a very simple beer, but obviously the complexities of German lagers and the nuance that you have to kind of pay attention to definitely makes it a harder, you know, one of the harder styles to beer to brew. But again, this is a labor of love, and we're super, super proud of this beer, and happy lagers are starting to get their due in the craft world. So we've been making them for 11 years since we started with our old Pavilion Pilsner. And again, I've always joked that we make these beers more for myself because I love the good, fresh German lagers, but it's definitely the brewer's choice. But now lagers are having their day, and we're starting to see a lot of them fly.
Do you do a decoction with this one?
We do not. So we do have a very German sort of step mash schedule, and then when it comes to yeast, we've got kind of a complex fermentation schedule as well. So I think that's where some of the characteristics, the yeast we use, I've always loved, and I love the kind of sulfury characteristic that it puts off, which I think that can sound off-putting to some people, but when it's when it's balanced properly, it's I love it. So
yeah, well, congratulations. It's delicious.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here.
Okay, tell me who you are and where you're from.
I'm Tony Tielli from Roughtail Brewing Company.
And what am I drinking?
You are drinking Panzl's Pineapples. That is a triple milkshake pineapple IPA. Comes in around 10% ABV. It's got tons of pineapple puree and citra hops. It's just a fun one that we made for the tap room. Really, really tasty.
Wow, it's super delicious. But of course you know that these hazy beers are an abomination, and they're ruining craft beer.
They're funding our payroll, so I'm fine with them.
Talk about this beer and the hopping process and how you get that fruit.
So this beer was developed by one of our brewers, a guy named Ross Cooley. He's been kind of pursuing this big, thick, rich, triple milkshake IPA thing. And this is the second iteration that he's brewed of this beer. The first one we released at our anniversary party, and it was a peach version. And then we decided to try it with a different fruit, so we went to the pineapples, and it worked really well. And I think he just pays really careful attention to his water profile, and then the way that the beer is mashed, and then the way that he collects and applies the hops, so that we retain a lot of the sweetness and fullness of the body but are still able to bring in a lot of hop flavor and aroma without a ton of bitterness. You know, I think that's kind of what he's striving for in this.
Are there a lot of adjuncts in the malt bill?
This one is kind of, a kitchen sink malt bill. There's a lot going on. I don't know the exact recipe off the top of my head. I know that it's back sweetened with a little bit of lactose to bring some of that juiciness into the fold. And I know that there's some vanilla as well as the pineapple going on. So there's a lot of flavors and a lot of aromas that are all working together to kind of bring this one, this one thing to the front that's got a lot of depth and a lot of character.
Well, it's deceptively drinkable.
At 10%, yeah, you got to be careful on this one.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Susan, is it Susan approved?
Yes.
David, tell me who you are and where you're from.
David Thompson with the Fellowship of Oklahoma Ellmakers, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
All right. And what am I drinking?
You're drinking my traditional Maybach.
It's delicious.
Oh,
it's very Maybach-y.
It's not a better word for it than that. Yeah, very Maybach-y. Yeah.
Tell me about the beer. How'd you make it?
The rough stats are it's about 7.5%, no crystal, pills in Munich, step mashed, and fermented at 50 and spunded.
Wow. So no decoction in this one?
No. My setup's not conducive to decoction.
Yeah. Well, it's got a super complex malt profile, though. And the it's clean as well. How did you ferment it?
I used WLP 833, so White Labs 833. I think that's the Bach yeast strain. Big starter, fermented at 50 until it hit just one or two Plato above terminal, and then spunded it in my conical.
Oh. Yeah. So this is a Reinheitsgebot beer.
Ish, yeah, Reinheitsgebot ish.
What would disqualify it?
Probably some of, like, I use lactic acid as opposed to lactic malt to adjust pH. I mean, that's okay. Yeah. Right. But otherwise, yeah.
We won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Well, it's delicious.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it. There's plenty more if you want it.
I may be nearly done talking, so I'll probably be back.
All right, then. Got a Pale Ale on there, too.
Awesome. Huh? Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Marion, you're back. Hey. What do we got here?
This is a little something I threw together. It's a dill pickle goza that I call Pickle Rick.
You're a Rick and Morty fan.
I am, yeah. It's just lowbrow and intelligent enough for me.
And this is from Dead Armadillo Craft Brewing.
That's correct. Yeah, Dead Armadillo. This is a beer we're debuting right now. It's a taproom only release, but not yet, because this is our first time to debut it right here at the Tulsa Craft Beer Invitational.
It's pickly, but it's drinkable.
Well, you know, the Goza style calls for some floral notes. A lot of people use coriander and some lemon peel, things like that. It's a salty beer, though, by tradition, and it can be anywhere from a little bit tart to real darn sour. So I thought that the acetic acid that's already present in pickles, plus all those nice pickling spices, would make the perfect accessory to the Goza style. So not only is this beer brewed with fresh dill in place of some late edition hops, but it's also dry pickled. That's 2 gallons of Vlasic dill spears added to the secondary without any pickle juice, just to give it that authentic pickle flavor. And it's also, I also made some Himalayan salt additions as well.
So how big of a batch is this that 2 gallons of pickles goes into?
This was a 1-barrel batch. So just on our pilot system, I have to win over everybody else before I can start mass producing this baby. But this is, in my opinion, this is the perfect hot weather poolside or boating or bicycling or running. This is a good sports beer. It's a recovery beer.
Yeah, it adds the sodium back into your system, and it's the Gatorade of beers.
You get all the vital electrolytes that you and plants need to survive.
Susan, what did you think?
I like it a lot.
she's not usually not much for very sour beers, but
I don't think it's sour.
It's tart, but nicely so, and would pair well with a hot dog.
I couldn't agree more. Maybe some Lay's potato chips. But I wanted to make sure that there was a good balance between the acetic and the lactic acid in this so that it provides that balance to the salt and makes it... I really wanted the dill and the pickle flavors to shine in it while making it something that's approachable, light-bodied, and easy drinking.
Nice job.
Thanks.
Okay, tell me who you are and where you're from.
I'm Ryan Smart, Nine Band Brewing at Osage Casino.
And what am I drinking here?
You are drinking the Honey Blonde Ale we call the Badge, and we've teamed up with the Chris Kyle Foundation to give back to veterans' families. So to keep vets coming back, we do date nights with them, so they help provide different functions. So it's a great organization to be a part of.
Wow, nice. Tell me about the beer.
It is a Honey Blonde Ale, so it's very classic in style, very much a blonde ale, and we do add local honey to the brewing process. So it gives a nice little sweet honey smell and kick to it.
Yeah, it's nice. It's not too sweet, but there is a nice honey character to it. What kind of honey is it? What are the bees eating?
I couldn't tell you where the bees are going. You know, they're a little bit too wild for me. But yeah, it's a 5.2% alcohol beer. IBUs are, I'm going to say 7 IBUs on it, so it's pretty drinkable and crushable by most people that are getting into craft beer itself. So if people are still learning about craft beer, it's a good one to try them on, you know, and that way they can get introduced to something a little different than Bud Light or something like that.
And what's the malt bill like?
It's pretty decent, mainly 2-row, a little Crystal 20, and that's about it.
Yeah, it's a nice, simple beer, but it's nice and drinkable. And how do you treat the honey? Where does it go in the process?
Right at the end of the boil, essentially. So just to sterilize it and keep it going, but not to boil it off. So,
well, very nice. Good job, and thank you for supporting the vets.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate coming out.
Cheers.
Arkansas is always welcome in Oklahoma.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Who are you and where are you from?
My name is Pete. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Been homebrewing for 30 years. Longer than I care to remember. And I'm here working at the Angry Scotsman booth, serving a Belgian wit beer with lemongrass and gunpowder green tea.
Now, you don't sound like you're from Ireland, or from Tulsa.
No, I'm 60 miles from the border, actually, so, but I'm not angry. They couldn't find an angry Scotsman, so they found a mellow Englishman.
What do you know about this beer?
Like I said, it's a Belgian wit beer. It's especially brewed as a one-off for this particular festival. So it's got gunpowder green tea, like I said, and traditional wit beer with gunpowder green tea.
Now, does this guy know more about it?
He does.
Hey, how's it going?
Who are you and where are you from?
I'm Cody Driscoll, and I'm the head brewer at Angry Scotsman.
All right. So I've just been served up something with gunpowder tea?
Yeah, so gunpowder green tea, lemongrass, and lemon peel, and a Belgian wit.
Very nice. Talk about how the beer's made.
So we took just simple grain bill, pills, wheat, flaked wheat, and then I think it's just all saaz hops, and then we did all of the spices, I guess you would call them, in Whirlpool, let them steep for about 10-15 minutes, chilled it down, sent it over to fermentation, and we did a dry Belgian strain and fermented on the cooler side. I think it's 66 degrees. And let it ferment out. Yep.
Wow, so it maintained a lot of flavor from that whirlpool. It didn't ferment out.
Yeah, I really like it. I really like where it's at. And we also have a West Coast IPA on tap and a porter on tap.
Tell me about the Angry Scotsman.
So the Angry Scotsman, our owner, Ross Harper, was born and raised in Glasgow, Scotland. And he moved over here to do grad school, do all that. And he was homebrewing, whatever. And one day he went out drinking with some buddies, had a few beers, and the next day he mentioned how he got a little pissed the night before, and their vernacular is a little different than what it is here, and so over there that means, you know, had a few too many, and so they were like, what are you angry for, you know, so it kind of stuck. He's the Angry Scotsman, and so.
Well, there are worse things to be called, right?
Oh, yeah. It's better than the Drunken Scotsman, so, yeah.
Well, very nice. Very tasty beer. Thank you so much.
Thanks for stopping by.
Desiree from High Gravity Homebrew Supplies in Tulsa, Oklahoma, also of Pippin's Tap Room. How are you?
I'm doing good now.
Everything's
everything the, seemed, the stress level is going away.
Yeah, so, yeah, everything seems under control.
Yeah, I think it's under control now.
I'm here to talk, not about the festival, I'm here to talk about your beer that we sampled earlier, your prickly pear beer.
All right, yeah, the prickly heat. It's a cream ale, and in the secondary, I added quite a bit of a prickly pear puree, enough so that it jumped it up 2 percentage points in alcohol. So it had a really good flavor, and it's really pretty, kind of this crazy fluorescent pinky purple. I can't even figure out what the color is.
It has a pinkish hue.
Yeah, and then we also put roasted Hatch green chilies in it as well.
It's delicious. Susan thought so too.
Yeah, it's really good.
She's a color commentator. What color was it?
It's not very colorful. I mean, no, my commentating is not very colorful. It's kind of a pinkish with a little red in it.
I can't come up with a name for it.
I took a picture. I'm going to put it up.
Watermelon-ish?
Yeah. Oh, perfect description.
Yeah, it's watermelon-ish.
So how did you put the flavorings in there?
Well, the green chilies I just threw in the secondary after I let the prickly pear puree ferment out. So basically about 2 weeks in after it was done fermenting, I added the prickly pear puree, and then it fermented fast. It was done in like 4 days, and then I added the green chilies. I didn't even add the green chilies for a full day. It was like maybe two-thirds of a day, and then I tasted it and I was like, because I was gonna leave it in there for a day or two, and then I thought if I leave it in too much longer, it's gonna hide the prickly pear flavor. So I just went ahead and then kegged it at that point.
And there's not a lot of heat, so it's good.
No, I wanted it to be kind of medium-ish heat, and I wanted you to notice it and know that it was there, but then still be able to taste the prickly pear.
So. It was very nice. Yeah. So you here at High Gravity, beer festivals come to you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The breweries are thrilled to death because they've had broken tap handles. Some people forgot their Sankey taps. And they just walk over 100 feet and, like, buy the stuff that they need to finish up their jockey boxes and stuff.
So this is just a ploy for you to sell equipment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Travis from Nothing's Left said, we need to have all the beer festivals in High Gravity's parking lot.
Well, this is a blast, and the rain went away, but
perfect
we still
heat.
Got the nice
it's
cloud
not too
cover.
Hot. It's just awesome. Yeah, I love awesome. It.
Well, yay. Thanks, Desiree.
Thank you.
Okay, tell me who you are and where you're from.
I'm Gene Collins from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
And if you're a fan of the video podcast, you might recognize Gene's voice from the Stein Brewing episode of the video podcast where we threw rocks in the beer.
That was like back in 2010, wasn't it? A long time ago.
I don't know. It all goes together, Gene, after a while.
I understand.
So who are you representing here in your booth?
We have a group called the Brew Buddies. We've kind of broken off a little bit from Foam. We still like those guys. We just decided we want to do some things on our own. So
you're still homebrewing at this point?
23 years later, yes.
What am I drinking?
You're drinking my wheat wine. It's like a barley wine strength beer that's made with wheat. And it's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, it's super chewy, bready, but at the same time not cloying, you know. It's drinkable. What's the ABV on this?
Probably around 10.
What did you do to it? Did you have to treat it any differently from a regular high gravity beer?
Yeah, one of the things I did with it is a cereal mash, where you take a certain percentage of raw wheat and then you pre-mash it, and that I believe it converts at like 147 degrees, and basically you're mashing your own raw wheat, so it has a nice fullness to it, and also kind of makes it carry over the wheat flavor real good.
Well, it's delicious. It's good to see you again, Gene.
You too. Thanks.
Tell me who you are and where you're from.
I'm Brian Kippenberger. I'm the Director of Brewery Operations for Anthem Brewing Company in Oklahoma City. Right now you're drinking our one of two sisters, Pomp. It's our bourbon barrel-aged Imperial Stout. Aged in fresh Booker's barrels. And her sister, Circumstance, is the exact same beer. The only difference is we fermented them with two different yeast strains. So Pomp gets the Belgian yeast strain, our house Belgian blend that we use for our flagship beer, Golden One, or our stout Ouroboros. And then the Circumstance gets our classic American ale yeast strain, same yeast strain we use for our IPA.
Very interesting. It's a delicious beer. I'm assuming it's got a fairly high finishing gravity because it's very chewy. So. It's chewy.
Yeah, very much so. So like I said, the exact same base beer, the only difference being the two different yeast strains. The reason why Pomp is a little higher in alcohol is because that yeast strain's a little more aggressive. I think it chewed it down to about 10.5 Play-Doh, where Circumstance is left over with about an 11.5 Play-Doh. So a little more sweetness out of the Circumstance up front. But it's a little confusing, though, because that Belgian yeast strain provides a little ester character that simulates sweetness as well.
It's delicious.
Cool. Okay. Did
you see
the Circumstance?
Yes, yes. We'll do a little rinsey rinse or a little little switch here for between the Pomp and the Circumstance. It's not often we do a yeast experiment here at a beer festival. You know, usually it's... Okay, so tell me again, this is the American ale yeast.
Correct, yeah. The American ale yeast is Circumstance. And that was originally the beer I intended on making. But I was like, what if? I was like, you know, we do yeast experiments with lighter beers or hop experiments. We do smash beers and figure out what different hops taste like. But I was like, what will two different yeast strains do to a big, boozy imperial stout?
So this one has a higher finishing gravity?
Higher finish gravity. It's lower in alcohol, only by one degree. It's 10.7 versus 11.8. But, yeah, there is a little more residual sugar left over in Circumstance than there is in Pomp.
But I would have guessed the opposite.
Yeah, you get those sweet sweet tones from the yeast. You know, Belgian yeast tends to be a little sweeter than, you know, American ale yeast is a little more classic, cleaner, less ester profile. So
it definitely tastes drier. It's less complex. It's still a delicious beer, but there's not as much going on, you know, as far as the flavor profile. The first one with the Belgian yeast is more fruity, just, you know, sort of more flavorful. The second one, the roast comes through a lot more cleanly. Very nice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I get a lot more clean flavor, a little more roast character, and a little more... for me, I get a little more of that cinnamon vanilla, which is like traditionally oak characteristics. Like if you know, I built fooders for a year, and whenever we'd fill them up to test them to see if they were leaking, the water would smell exactly like cinnamon and vanilla. You know, and that's the natural tannins from the oak. So I get a little more oak character out of, like true oak character out of Circumstance. But the sweetness from the Pomp all comes from the yeast strain. And but I feel like with a little more alcohol in it, I get a little more heat and a little more booze out of Pomp.
Very nice. And tell me about Anthem.
Anthem Brewery, we've been around for a few years, growing, just like everyone else in the city, now that our laws have changed. We're an American craft brewery, just getting ready to do a lot more new and fun stuff. Got a little tap room down in the city, and just expanded our brew house. So we're getting ready to make a lot more beer for you folks.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, man. Nice to meet you.
Okay, Jared, tell me who you are and where you're from.
My name is Jared Major. I work as a brewer at Broken Arrow Brewing Company.
Formerly of High Gravity.
Mm-hmm. Formerly of High Gravity. I started brewing in September for Austin Ferguson and Jason Northern, the co-owners of Broken Arrow Brewing Company.
You like it there?
I'm having a blast, yeah.
What am I drinking here?
This is our Father Dominic Belgian Quad. Inspired by traditional Belgian styles, big dark plum raisin, and finishes nice and dry.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually when I think of quad, I think of nice, big, dark fruits and a kind of a, you know, sweet finish.
Yeah, but not overly sweet.
But this is nice and dry on the finish, and it clears quickly. I don't feel like I have to, you know, take a sip of water between every sip.
Yeah, we let it go a couple months to make sure it attenuates all the way down so it still finishes dry, having that nice fruity sweet flavor without being overly cloyingly sweet.
So what can you tell me about the details of the recipe?
Well, the recipe was developed by Austin Ferguson, the founding owner of the company, and he had a friend that knew someone that worked in at a monastery, and that's kind of what inspired the whole process. It was named after he could probably give you more details than I could on that, but
are there some trade secrets in there somewhere?
Oh, it's a traditional style. We do our dark candy sugar and a highly attenuating Belgian yeast ferment, fairly cool for the style, to keep it nice and malty.
Yeah, there's not a ton of like you know, yeasty esters in there, but there's enough to give you a good representation of the characteristics. There's a bit of just a little bit of banana. You know, then there's clove in there as well to my palate. Of course, you know, this is near the end of the day for me, but but very nice and very drinkable. What's the ABV on this?
About 10.2%. Okay.
Are they letting, when you were here at High Gravity, you were known for as the cask man, I think. Mm-hmm. Are you still getting to play with casks?
Not as much as I'd like to, but hopefully we'll get caught back up. When I first started at Babco, we were doing them a couple times a month. We recently got our self-distribution license, which has taken up a little more time. We're having to drive kegs around. But I think we're about caught up on our flagship stuff, and then we'll get to start playing around a little bit more with the cask stuff.
It's good to see you again, man.
You too.
Well, thanks again to everybody at the Tulsa Craft Beer Invitational. Desiree says the winners this year were American Solera for Distractions Grasp and homebrewer Gordon McKinnon for a white chocolate blonde stout. Mmm! Sounds tasty. Sorry I missed those. I wish we had time to talk to everybody there, but there was a lot of brewers and a lot of beers there. So thanks to my wife, Susan, for being the responsible one and just taking an occasional sip and driving us to and fro. If you're in the Tulsa area, keep a lookout for the Tulsa Craft Beer Invitational next year. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form at basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our new mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies always coming your way at patreon.com/basicbrewing. It's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.